The Army's been working for the past several years on a more comprehensive approach to fitness instead of one that measures how many push-ups a soldier can do or how quickly she can run a mile. But when it comes to the overall health of the force, the Army Surgeon General says her biggest concern is how much sleep soldiers are getting each night. It's not enough. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about it in this week's edition of his Inside the Reporter's Notebook and talked to me about it.
Frankly, I think most of the rest of us in society, something we don't normally talk about here on Federal News Radio, but maybe we should spend some more time on it. Just to back up for a second, this came from about an hour chat that about a half dozen reporters had with Lieutenant General Patricia Horahoe, the Army Surgeon General at the Pentagon last week. She talked with us about what the Army calls its performance triad, which is sort of an overarching public health campaign made up of healthy exercise, nutrition, and good sleep routines that it's encouraging its soldiers to engage in. Interestingly, the sleep part of that is what's most concerning to her. She says getting more sleep is one of the most important things that not just the Army and its soldiers could do, but broader society could do to improve everyone's overall health. So she pointed us towards some studies that show that soldiers now are getting about 6 hours of sleep per night compared to 8 hours of sleep 30 years ago. And at that level of sleep, if you do that, just that 6 hours for even just 6 days in a row, it's equivalent to having a 0.08 blood alcohol concentration, you know, the legal limit in every state, and lowering your cognitive functions by 20%. So what she says she's been doing is trying to start with the Army senior leadership all the way up to the Army Chief of Staff, Ray Odierno, and encouraging them to take this seriously and change their behavior and try to get more sleep. She says General Odierno and many others have already started doing that. She briefs every single one of the new general officers coming into the Army now and basically tries to give them the message that, look, you were appointed to have these stars on your shoulders in order to be a strategic thinker. You're not going to be a strategic thinker if your cognitive functions are reduced by 20%. And it goes broader than that. She's also targeting the rank and file soldiers in the Army because of that point that I made a little bit earlier, the equivalent to 0.08 blood alcohol concentration. Here, let me play a little clip from General Horahoe.
We would never let a soldier in our formation intoxicated. Why would we let soldiers in the formation with sleep deprivation? Why would we have bus drivers driving our children that are sleep deprived? Why would you have in our nation someone, you know, practicing surgery if you're sleep deprived? I think this is the most important thing our nation can do right now is focusing on sleep. So that is where we're tackling it.
Again, General Patricia Horahoe, the Army Surgeon General. So what's the Army doing about it? They've created this program called Sleep Hygiene that they've started building into their existing, what they call comprehensive soldier.
And that doesn't mean clean sheets, right?
That doesn't mean clean sheets, but it does mean fewer blinking lights in your room. That's one thing that that is part of this program. They want people to go around their bedroom, look at all their electronic devices that are blinking, whether it's your DVR, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's your iPad, and just count them. She says the average is about 6 to 7. And, you know, whether you realize it or not, those are things that are keeping you from getting into a deep and restful sleep cycle. And also, you know, just stay in a cool, dark room. They're also encouraging some things that, as I said in the notebook this week, are maybe a bit unorthodox for a military culture. Alternative medicine, yoga, acupuncture, and mindfulness training. So, all very interesting things for the Army that, again, you wouldn't necessarily expect. But she's taking this very seriously, thinks that it's one of the most important things that we can all do to improve our overall health.
The question is, if they get 6 hours sleep, it's because of what time Taps is played and what time Reveille is played. So it sounds, Jared, like there would have to be a real rethinking of the entire routine in order to get those 2 hours more sleep.
It's a really good point, and I think you're right. This can't be just a one-way message. Hey, you soldiers, make sure you're getting sleep. I think if the Army's serious about this, they've got to also tackle it as an institution, as you suggest, kind of rethink the routines that they put their soldiers through. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of duties that they have to perform where they're out on an all-night patrol in Afghanistan or whatever, and that's going to probably override the need to get sleep. But that's one reason that the Army is building in suggestions into what it calls its performance triad app for iPhone and Android, where they give you, you know, tailored suggestions based on your job functions, including ways to what they call bank sleep ahead of time. So even if you can't get that 8 hours a night, you can sort of store it up ahead of time and make sure that you're rested enough to pull off that all-nighter that you may have to do once or twice during a week. So there are ways around it, even if you're not going to be operating, on a normal, day and night cycle, as, of course, many people in the Army and the other military services do not.
Jared Serbu is Federal News Radio's DOD reporter, and we're talking about his edition this week of Inside the DOD's Reporter Notebook. And you mentioned the performance triad with sleep as one of the legs there. What are the other two parts of the triad?
The other two are nutrition, eating a healthy diet, basically, and healthy exercise. The exercise one is, you know, kind of in the bag for a lot of people in the Army. That's already mandatory. It's basically a condition of employment along with your weight. Nutrition is harder, and they've tackled that on many installations by, as many schools have done, just getting rid of sugar, getting rid of sugary drinks in the vending machines. She talked about one location where they've actually taken those vending machines out and replaced them with giant bags that represent the amount of sugar that's been removed from that installation, removed from the diet of the people who work and train there. I can't remember the exact weight she said, but they basically replaced, you know, the physical dimensions of the vending machines there in just, you know, the course of a few weeks.
All right. And also, Jared, I wanted to ask you about the app that you mentioned. There's an Android type of app that soldiers can use in the wellness context.
Yeah, again, it's called the Performance Triad app. It's available for both the iPhone and Android. It's not just for soldiers. Anyone can download it if you want to, if you want to get these, as we said, sleep suggestions, along with nutrition suggestions and healthy exercise suggestions. They're in the, for the iPhone, obviously, it's in the Apple App Store, and for the Android, it's in the Google Play Store. It's supposed to be seeing a new version, at least for iOS, soon in the coming days. They said they're just waiting for Apple to finally sign off on it.
Well, you've got me totally scared now, because as someone who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and goes to bed, if I'm lucky, by 8, my triad is sounding to be a bit of a sour note there. Are you telling me that because of what the Army has discovered, I'm coming on the air every day as if I have a 0.08 alcohol content in my blood?
It sounds to me like you're doing it right. Like you're at least getting your 8 hours if you're getting up early. Back when I worked mornings, I was doing it the wrong way. So I'd get 4 hours of sleep at night and try and cram in maybe a 2 or 3 hour nap in the afternoon, and I think that's suboptimal. It's best if you can get yourself on a regular day and night cycle and try and compress those 8 hours together the best you can.
Any word on what Odierno and some of the other Army brass, what the reaction is to these suggestions?
You know, I don't even want to go there. It's difficult. It's difficult to imagine, you know, whether they're using acupuncture or yoga or exactly what methods they're using. But whatever you're doing, it's, like I said, it's important to get those 8 hours, regardless of how you pull it off.
And also, just briefly, in your column this week, you note that the energy use in DOD has fallen to the lowest level on record?
This came from a report the Energy Information Administration published last week. They went back all the way through the records that the Federal Energy Management Program has for every federal agency. And unfortunately, they only go back to 1975, which is not the best year to start because it was the last year of the Vietnam War. And no doubt there was a lot of extra energy expended after the fall of Saigon, getting our troops out. But the important thing is there has been a consistent downward trend in DOD's energy use, both its liquid fuel and its electric use on its military installations every year since. And so the trend lines that they show in the graphs that we link to at federalnewsradio.com are very compelling. They, you know, it's not just, these are not just things that track with basically how busy the military is and the pace of current operations in any given year. They seem to track, you know, adoption of more energy efficient technologies and even some important policy decisions that the government has made over the past few years. So, for example, even over the past 10 years, DOD's lowered the energy intensity in its facilities by 17%. And that's not just a result, as I said, of operational tempo. It's a result of, you know, real concrete policy decisions. So, and then there was also the Energy Independence and Security Act back in 2007 that included goals for those energy, to lower those energy intensity factors. And they've also done things on their bases, like making sure that they put individual electric meters at every single building so they can actively manage the energy that's being used by every function on base, rather than just having one single meter at the front gate of the base. So you don't know how much the commissary is using, how much the barracks are using, how much, you know, an aircraft hangar might be using, and how you might be able to improve those individual things. So now that they've got that advanced metering in place, that seems to have already helped in letting the military services actively manage and reduce their energy consumption on base. So I think you'd have to say a pretty good success story here.
Probably be a while until they can replace aerial refueling station planes rather with aerial rechargers.
Yeah, that's right. Or electrically operated tankers. I don't think that was in the last solicitation that the Air Force put out.